You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Ross Briley, Gary Capewell and Rory Delaghi in the studio. National meetings in the afternoon from Sandown, Ayr and Leicester, and all weather action in the evening as well on the Polytrack at Chelmsford City domestically and over in Ireland from Dundalk. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
Very well, thank you, Mark.
Good, good man. We'll start with a little bit of news and a little bit of a look ahead to the Cheltenham Festival. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action at the festival, but a little bit of news before that, Rory. Interesting jockey booking for one of Paul Nicholls' Triumph Hurdle runners, Tommy Silver. He's booked Johnny Burke to ride.
Yeah, he's got potentially five runners in the Triumph, Paul, so looking for outside riders for one or two of his. This is a horse that Paul likes a lot. Although he's a short price given what he's actually done in a race course. He would have got into the Fred Winter off a lenient looking mark, but Paul couldn't get him qualified in time or didn't want to rush his qualification for that. You need three runs to get there. He won at Musselburgh last time out. Paul thinks, as I said, thinks very highly of him, but he'd be about fifth best of Paul's on the ratings. And because Paul's been sweet in his chances, he's around, what, about a 16-1 chance for the race? Something along those lines. If Paul hadn't mentioned him at all, just let it run as it is, and this was priced up on the ratings, he'd be 50-1, maybe 66-1. He's clearly better than that, and he'd be a very interesting horse in handicap, but I think he's got a tough task in the Triumph. But I can pass on a decent word for Clandais Obo for the yard in that race, who's, I think, is probably the one that Paul would probably think is arguably the best of his. He did win the big juvenile hurdle at Kempton, Adonis, with Zubair, who's almost favourite now for the Triumph. But Zubair's had lots of problems, and Paul wouldn't have been confident of getting him to the race course prior to that. So whether he's 100% on the day is up for debate, given the number of problems he's had since arriving in the yard for $380,000 last summer. But Clandais Obo has always been held in high regard and would have won the Triumph Hurdle Trial at the trials day at Cheltenham, but for going for home too soon, he got picked up late in the day but battled back. He's arguably the best prospect that Paul has among his juveniles, and he's probably overpriced at a bit, again, a similar sort of price. He should be a fair bit shorter than Tommy Silver on form, and I know that his owner has had a little bit of a financial interest on him as well, which is not par for the course for him, I don't believe.
Right. Clandais Obo 16-1 and Tommy Silver 20s in the market for the Triumph. So yeah, that's a little bit later on in the week, but as we mentioned, we're going to focus on some of Wednesday's stuff. The feature race is the Champion Chase. We'll move on to that in just a moment, but a bit of news about the RSA as well. It looks like See You at Midnight is going to end up there, not in the 4-miler anymore, and more of that heading the betting with No More Heroes, both 9-4 and then 10-1 barring those. So do you have an opinion in the RSA?
Yeah, I don't have a very strong opinion, to be honest. A lot of people are billing this as a two-horse race between More of That and No More Heroes, and the pair of them have been reasonably impressive so far. But I don't think they're absolute mile clear on form, and More of That in particular, I think a lot of people are tipping him up on the basis of his hurdles form. He's won both his starts over fences, but he's had a fairly easy time of it both times, and it's not astounding form. He's probably capable of a fair bit better, but he comes from a yard that struggled for winners for a fair while. He's missed two engagements as well in the last few weeks, which suggests that it's not been entirely straightforward with him. So that's a little bit of an issue at the likely prices. No More Heroes has been impressive all year in Ireland, but he's, again, about as short as he can be. And I thought there were a few in behind there, See You at Midnight being an obvious example, who were big enough and appealing from an each-way point of view. See You at Midnight is definitely interesting. Not hugely impressive at Newcastle last time out, but he went there with a poor preparation, having scoped badly. But clearly everything looks good for him now, as long as there's a degree of ease in the ground, which is open to debate. It's soft at the moment. They had over an inch of rain there, and I got caught in most of it the other day. But there's not going to be a drop of rain for the next week.
Yeah, it's
so I think it'll be good to soft officially on Tuesday without the shadow of a doubt. But it might be you know, genuinely on the good side of good to soft for the opening day, which maybe wouldn't suit CU at midnight as much as very soft ground would.
Hmm. All right, let's talk about the big one then on Wednesday, the Queen Mother Champion Chase. Fantastic renewal this year in the fact that you've got the big challenger of this year, Undersow, taking on the previous three winners. Undersow 8-11, 5-2 for Vatoru. I don't think we'll go to the race. 9-2 Sprinter Sakura. Dodging Bullets 12s, Special Tiara 12s. Side of Grugia 14s. We're hearing that they might put blinkers on him.
Yes.
Interesting race, isn't it?
It is an interesting race. And of course, you got Vatoru in there and you think, well, he rather messes things up being in that. But he's been declared. He's been. Well, yeah. they haven't taken him out today. This is an entry point today, and he's been put in again. So, you know, connections are playing mind games a little bit, or at least keeping us all guessing. So, yeah. If Vautour ran in, I'd say Vautour would be a better horse than Undersow.
Yeah,
I think there are at least two horses in the William Mullins yard who would be at least as good as Undersow as a 2 mile chaser. And that's the thing. I mean, he's yet to show himself one of the greats of the game. For all he's been talked up that way by pundits. His win at Ascot was impressive, but it wasn't awe-inspiring. He sets a standard on recent form, but he wouldn't be as good as a peak form Sprinter Sakura. And I think the signs are that Sprinter Sakura might just be coming back to close to his best. I don't think he's going to get within £7 of that, to be honest. And his campaign last year was all wrong.
Yeah.
But this year, they've been a little bit bolder about it, and they're talking about riding him fairly aggressively in the race. And of course, Undersow will be taken on by Special Tiara in the first place, as long as Special Tiara gets out. The fact that he's been entered suggests that there's no issue. He hasn't run since the Tinkle Creek. But good ground's important to him. He made most of the running in last year's champion chase and kept on really well when he was headed. So he will be going head-to-head with Undersow, and that's something that Undersow has never dealt with before.
Yep.
And it could easily make a big difference to him. Sprinter Sakura, I would expect to track those two, give them a few lengths early, and then try to close them down from before the top of the hill. And that's the key. If they press the button with Sprinter Sakura reasonably early in the contest, then he's got a live chance of winning. If they wait and wait and wait, then he won't be passing other horses up the hill. But the talk from both Nico de Boinville and from Nicky Henderson is that they will be more aggressive with him. And that's half the issue with him running poorly a couple of times in the last 18 months, that they've just haven't pressed the button with him. They've sat there and not asked him for an effort. And because he's got physical issues, he's not able to produce a turn of foot. He showed that at Kempton when beating Sarah de Grouchy. But in the Schlur chase at Cheltenham early in the season, when he was asked to go on, he looked tremendous.
Yep.
And if they do that again, then he's got a really good chance of winning, and he's the horse I'd want to back in the race.
I suppose there's a bit of an argument now as well that Sprinter Sakura these days is probably a little bit better, fresher, and he's been given a nice break before.
Yeah, I mean, they want to get plenty of work into him, but they did that before his reappearance.
Yeah.
And again, because he's a tiny bit fragile these days, then the more they race him, the more they might just take the edge off him. So he's done plenty of work and plenty of schooling as well, so he should be ready to go. It's worth bearing in mind that he was bitterly disappointing in the race last year, but I think they went there with no confidence at all and just looked after him, whereas this year they've got to bite the bullet.
All right, well, I suppose we should leave that there. Let's concentrate on Friday's action, and we'll get Rory's thoughts in four of Friday's races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, we'll spin through these in time order, Rory. So we'll start in the 3:15 at Sandown Park. This is the Grand Military Gold Cup. It's a race for military amateur riders, a chase over 3 miles. We've got a field of eight here, Rory. A couple of previous winners in terms of jockeys anyway. Lance Bombardier, Jody Soul has won it a couple of times. Captain Guy Disney hasn't won this race, but he set a bit of a record, didn't he? The first jockey to ride with an artificial limb. Over fences. So
yeah, of course. See,
interesting angles that way.
He'd served out in Afghanistan, hadn't he? A Guy Disney, or in the war zones out in the Middle East. It was great to see that he got clearance to ride, and he's not disgraced himself at all. His Mount Wilton Milan isn't quite. He's not as consistent as he once was. His form has gone to pieces since winning at Lingfield in November. That came in very deep ground and maybe took the edge off him. There's one I'm interested in this race. I mean, the obvious starting point, and I haven't seen a prices for the race, is Jenny's Surprise. Great story when she won the first leg of the military double, the Royal Artillery, for Sally Randall and for Brody Hampson. Brody riding for her father, who'd served for a long time and has advanced cancer. So it was a big story, her riding that winner for him. She doesn't ride tomorrow. Erica Bridge is on board for Fergal O'Brien. Jenny Surprise deserves to be favourite on that run last time out. Although it was a really grueling race just 3 weeks ago, they ended up crawling home, and Jenny Surprise seemed to have very little chance off the home bend, but the leaders got very tired, and she picked up well and very bravely, made for a tremendous occasion because Brody pulled it out of the fire. She will be a reasonably short price, but there is a slight question mark as to whether she can... repeating the form is probably not good enough. If you look at the bare worth of the form, it fell apart a little bit in front. Mm. But she does have form before that gives her a good chance, and Fergal O'Brien's in really good form. But she might just struggle to run to her best form, given what a tough race that was last time out. And the one I'd be interested in is Art Killie Witness, who's shown nothing this season, but did finish a creditable fourth at Kempton last February. I know that this has always been the plan. Jamie Snowden, who trains him, used to regularly road winners off of military races in his time as a rider, often riding for Nicky Henderson. And the new owners of Art Killie Witness are all people from his old platoon, I believe, or his old regiment, rather. And this has been on the agenda all year. There are two options: either run him in the Grand National or run him in this. And they didn't really think he'd make the cut for the Grand National, but they gave him a go and they ran him in the, I think it was in the, was it the Sefton or the Beecher in December? But he didn't particularly enjoy himself, couldn't get into it from behind. And he was disappointing again then at Kempton last time out. But Jamie was struggling for form at the time, doing a little bit better at the moment. And given this has been the plan for a long time, I think he might just be ignored, whereas he will have been trained for this. And it just rather depends how they bet. On recent form, he'd be a big, big price. Mm. But on his best form from last year, he'd be very short. So I would take whatever the best price you can get with Hills when the market opens, because I think he'll run a much better race tomorrow than he has done for a while.
All right, interesting stuff. Captain Harry Wallace as well, a previous winner of this race.
Never a bad thing.
Yeah. Let's move on to the 325 at Leicester next. This one is a Class 3 handicap chase. It's over 2.5 miles. Only five of them in the lineup here, Rory, and I think it'd be fair to say they're not the most consistent bunch.
Not the easiest to unpick this contest, to be perfectly honest. But, again, looking at how well handicapped they are in the pick of their form and looking for reasons why they might bounce back, Toby Lerone is the obvious one. Again, for Stable, very much in form. Dan Skelton absolutely flying. Had a little bit of a quiet time December, January, much like his old boss did. But the yard's in very good form at the moment, including getting a big price double at Enghien the other day. His first two runners in France both won. Both would have looked obvious enough to those of us in this country, but went off at returned 14-1 and 18-1, I think, in the PMU. Toby Lerone won first time out over hurdles this season at Toaster. Didn't need to be at his best to do that, but hasn't fired in two runs since. The first of them over fences at Haydock. He's maybe not the bravest in the world. He's a horse who's been tried over the national fences before, and like one or two, maybe got a bit of a fright there, and hasn't always looked like he wants to give 100%. But he has dropped a long way in the weights. His last good run over fences came at Haydock in January last year. That was off a mark of 134. He's quickly dropped to 125, and this drop in grade will give him a big chance of winning because the opposition he's up against struggle to get their heads in front as a rule.
All right, back to Sandown for their 350 next. This one is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 5.5 furlongs. We've got a field of 11 here. It's a race that's been pretty good to Barry Geraghty in recent years. He's won two of the last three renewals, and he's on one that's likely to be near the top of the market and Suit Yourself in this year's renewal, Rory.
Yeah, handicap debut for Suit Yourself, from a very good family. Hasn't hit the heights thus far, but his bumper win at Bangor was impressive enough. And then he won fairly well at Carlisle. It was a race that that didn't take a huge amount of winning. He did that on the bridle. The favourite for that rather disappointed in the end. And he was a respectable third at Toaster last time out, but he never went a yard in that race, and that's the worry. In fairness, John Jones were quiet at the time. They're still a little bit quiet, but there should be improvement from Suit Yourself. But he wouldn't be the pick in this race. This is a really competitive handicap, surprisingly so, for a Friday before the Cheltenham Festival. And the marginal pick There are probably four horses I would happily back in handicaps in this race. The marginal pick, given how the race is going to be run, would probably be Bon Enfant for Warren Greatrex, who has won three of his five. Won his first two starts over hurdles at Fontwell and Weatherby. Neither of those strong contests. Very short odds when he won at Weatherby. But he improved a chunk when second to Pinnacle Panda at Sandown on his latest start and his handicap debut. The pair pulled a long way clear of the rest of the field. They both look very well handicapped. And what we know about Bon Enfant is that he stays further. So the run last time out was over an extended 19 furlongs. He's up to 2 mile 5.5 here. That will bring about more improvements. He also goes either from the front or races handily. Most of these are hold-up horses, and that's what gives him the edge over one or two other interesting ones in the race. So Bon Enfant should get the run of things and will go close. Spencer Lee, if they do go a fast pace, would be a danger at a fair price for Henry Oliver.
All right, a couple to consider there then, but Bon Enfant, the main selection in the 350, and we finish off in the 715 at Chelmsford City. This one is a class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs, a field of 14 here. Rory, nice and competitive for us to finish.
It is, but there's only one horse I'm interested in here. You're taking a little bit of a chance backing him, but yet another one who looks very well handicapped in his best form, and it's easy to find excuses for a couple of moderate runs. That horse is Oriental Relation, course and distance winner, who goes from the front and is very, very well drawn in stall one to do that. He ran a stinker over course and distance two starts ago, but he couldn't get. He was unfancied that day. Couldn't get to the front, and if he can't lead, he can't win. He then did lead next time out at Kempton, but went too hard from the front and couldn't see it out. But that's a better run than it appears on paper. And if he finds his way back to his best form, then he has to go close. He will definitely lead the horses outside him, Top Offer and Dr. Parks. There might be a little bit of pressure from Russian Reward of Paul Coles and Stall 4. He would be a danger. But I just think that there's a decent chance of Oriental Relation getting the jump on these into the first bend, and that would give him a very good chance of winning.
All right, good stuff. Thank you very much, Rory. Let's just have a little bit of a quick summary then before you go, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your four selections one more time.
Sure. The selections are, in the 3:15 at Sandown, I'm going for Art Killy Witness. The 3:25 at Leicester, Toby Lerone. 3:50 at Sandown, Bon Enfant. And in the 7:15 at Chelmsford, Oriental Relation.
Superb. Good work, Rory. Thank you very much. Good
Thank
luck
you.
And enjoy it on Friday.
Cheers.
There you go, the thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 PM. Rory will be in the studio and he'll be joined by Ross Briley and Gary Capewell. We have three jump meetings in the afternoon, Sandown, Ayr and Leicester, and a couple of all other meetings in the evening as well. The usual stuff at Dundalk and Chelmsford City as well this Friday night. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.